The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Like Bob on Facebook at facebook.com/BobBurneyLive.
And again, welcome to Bob Burney Live. I told you I'd bring you up to date on what's going on out in Oregon. In the last, 24 plus hours, a little, I'm not sure exactly the exact timeline, but certainly within the last 48 hours, Oregon has closed, opened, closed. The big headline yesterday was that Baker County Circuit Judge Matthew Shurtcliffe ruled that the governor of Oregon, Governor Kate Brown, a Democrat, and if you notice, there's a trend here. There is a trend. Almost every governor that is being sued with reasonable grounds, and the lawsuits are being upheld, almost every governor that's being sued for draconian measures, unconstitutional measures, almost all of them have been Democrats. Almost all. Not all, but most of them. So here we have Oregon with very, very severe shutdown rules and regulations with no exemption for churches. No exemption for churches. So two churches in Oregon went to court, and Baker County Circuit Judge Matthew Shurtcliffe ruled that Governor Kate Brown erred by not seeking input from the legislature. Well, there is balance of power in the federal government. There is supposed to be balance of power in the state government as well. And that has been my problem here in Ohio. And I keep saying it. Even if every single decision made by Governor DeWine and Amy Acton, if every one of them have been absolutely correct, every Ohioan should be concerned about how those decisions were made with almost no input from the legislature whatsoever. I had the Speaker of the House here in the state of Ohio on just last Wednesday. He said, we didn't know anything that was going on. We in the House of Representatives felt very disrespected. We were not consulted. The governor, the director of the Department of Health, made these decisions, I don't want to say arbitrarily, but certainly without consultation with the legislature. So anyway, back to Oregon. So I think this was yesterday. This circuit judge, Matthew Shurtcliffe, said, the shutdown order by the governor is null and void because she didn't consult with the legislature. Well, the governor took it to the Oregon Supreme Court, and in a very short time, the Supreme Court overturned the decision by the lower court. So the circuit judge ruled the shutdown order was null and void. The Supreme Court ruled that the judge's order was null and void. As you might expect, the governor praised the Supreme Court action. In fact, she said, and I believe this was this morning, quote, There are no shortcuts for us to return to life as it was before this pandemic. Moving too quickly could return Oregon to the early days of this crisis when we braced ourselves for hospitals to be overfilled. The lower court judge had issued his opinion in response to a lawsuit filed by 10 churches. I said two. I was wrong. 10 churches around Oregon that argued that the state's social distancing directives were unconstitutional. In a 7-page opinion, the lower court judge wrote that the damage to Oregonians and their livelihood was greater than the dangers presented by the coronavirus. He also noted that other businesses deemed essential, such as grocery stores, had been allowed to remain open even with a large number of people present and have relied on mass social distancing and other measures to protect the public. He said, quote, "The governor's orders are not required for public safety when plaintiffs can continue to utilize social distancing and safety protocols at larger gatherings involving spiritual worship." In other words, the lower court judge said, if Kroger can be open, if Home Depot can be open, if Lowe's can be open, if the corner liquor store can be open, churches can be open as well. So, 48 hours ago, Oregon was closed, then it was open, and now it is closed again. These are going to be the kind of things that we are going to see happen for months and months to come. And by the way, this is fascinating. Joy and I were talking about this, I think it was last night, about the huge difference between conservatives and liberals, not just Republicans and Democrats, but conservatives and liberals in the fear factor. And I say this all the time. The liberal left does not deal with facts and truth. They deal with emotion and hysteria. A real conservative does not operate out of fear, emotion, and hysteria. They deal with facts. Okay. In a poll conducted by CBS News. Yeah, in a poll conducted by CBS News. Listen to this. Talk about a demonstration of what you and I talk about all the time. 88% of Democrats, now again, this is a CBS poll, 88% of Democrats believe the top priority of America is to stay home and slow the virus spread. Number one priority, 88%. Only 12% said the top priority should be, let's go back to work and get the economy going. On the other hand, 62% of Republicans favored getting the economy going as the top priority, while 38% felt staying at home is the top priority. Now, why do you stay home? You're fearful. I don't want to get it. I don't want my kids to get it. I don't want to get it. I don't want to die. Talk about a divide. 88% of Democrats say, we got to stay home. We got to lock the doors, shut the windows. We got to stay home. 62% of Republicans said, you know, let's trust people. People can take care of themselves. Let's get out. Let's get the economy rolling again. And I'm quoting from the poll. Republicans were roughly 4 times more supportive than Democrats of definitely reopening parks and schools. They were 5 times more in favor of reopening restaurants and beaches and 7 times more in favor of reopening churches. Quote, Democrats have a much more pessimistic view about when the economy can safely be allowed to get back up to full steam. 68% of Democrats said it would take several months or a year or longer. Think about that. 68% of Democrats think it will be up to a year or longer before we can get out of our houses. A year. Can you imagine what would happen to the economy, jobs, people? Can you imagine the rate of depression, suicide, child abuse, marriage failures? And yet 68% of Democrats said, it could take a year or longer. Only half the number of Republicans, 34%, said the same, while a roughly equal number of Republicans, 31%, said it would be safe to fully reopen the economy nationwide in about 2 weeks or a month or so. Talk about a deep, deep divide between the right and the left, conservatives and liberals. Today, right now, Democrats and liberals are characterized by fear and pessimism. Let's get things shut down. We can't open restaurants. We can't go back to normal. Conservatives are going, you know what? Let's trust the people. Let's, you know, give them guidelines, tell them what is best, what's safe. And let's get back to work. Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. The deep, deep, deep divide between the left and the right, between conservatives and liberals. All right. We're going to take our next break. And then we'll be back. You're listening to Bob Burney Live. And my number is 877 Bob Live, 877-262-5483.
Follow Bob on Twitter at twitter.com/BobBurneyLive.
Honest question. How does any reasonable person, thinking person, with reasonable intellect, knowledge, ability to logically reason anything, how does anyone actually believe in evolution? And no, I'm being serious, and I'm changing topics here completely, and I'll tell you why in just a second. But it is an honest question. How does anyone believe that things so complex as life came from nothing, just by chance? And an illustration. Joy and I have had just this wonderful opportunity now, 2 years in a row. Joy loves birds. We have all kinds of bird feeders out in our backyard, and we've got a bay window, and we sit and watch the birds feed and so forth. She also likes bird houses. And so, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago, she bought this decorative birdhouse. It's made out of tin, and she bought it for decoration. She didn't buy it to be a birdhouse. She just bought it as a decoration. And we have a deck on the back of our house, and the deck has a banister, I guess you would call it. And so she puts it there on the banister just as a decoration. Well, last spring, bluebirds made it a house. I guess they didn't know it was supposed to be just for decoration. So anyway, we watched with great interest. The birds going in and out, they made a nest and so forth, and mama and daddy, you know, brought the material and made the nest and so forth. And then the babies. And I didn't see any of them, but Joy watched all the babies leave last year. Well, when the summer was over, fall came, we put the decorative bird house and a shed in our backyard. And So when spring came this year, we got it out, dusted it off, put it right back on the same banister where it was, and I even put some double sticky tape down so it wouldn't blow off. And we wondered. We wondered. And because we got so much enjoyment, we went and bought a real, actual birdhouse and put it in a tree up above where the decorative one was. Well, long story short, the bluebirds came to the same decorative birdhouse and built a nest. Other birds, they're darker. I don't know one bird from another. They may be sparrows. I don't know what they are. But they took up residence in the upper treehouse that's or birdhouse that's up in the tree. Well, the last 2 days, the babies have been leaving the house. Joy sat for 15 minutes with her phone taking a video because she wanted to get on video this little baby bird, one of them. We don't know how many there were, four or five. Wanted to get this thing actually leaving the nest and flying. So she sat there by the window 15 minutes with her phone recording this incredible event, and she showed it to me last night. And here is this little baby bird born in this nest, sticks his head out for the first time, looks around, looks around, looks around. Mom and dad are up above looking down, and occasionally they come down and encourage him, encourage him, encourage him. And then finally, he takes the leap, and he flies. How does he know how to fly? He didn't fall to the ground. He flew. And he didn't jump down on the banister. He knew to fly. Now, that bird has a brain about the size of a pea, maybe even smaller. You mean to tell me that that bird evolved and had that knowledge? Flying is one of the most complex things in the universe. It took man hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years to figure out how to fly. And that bird got it right the first time. Incredible thing. What an incredible thing to witness it. Don't tell me that's accident. And I'll tell you it's God.